You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock in for David Fleming. Well, there's food and music in the program tonight. The city of Norco, affectionately and officially known as Horsetown, USA, will be hosting a weekend-long celebration they call Brewin' Q, starting Friday, June 2nd. We'll find out all about 3 days of food, artisan brew, and the barbecue competitions from local organizer Debbie Yop. We'll also have a conversation with Naish Fox about his acting career and his experience thus far in the lead role of the musical production Pippin. He'll perform that role for an Inland Empire audience when the acclaimed Broadway musical stops for 2 days at the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside, June 3rd and 4th. And we'll hear how a Southern California drummer landed the role of Ringo Starr in the Beatles tribute band Abbey Road. They'll celebrate the Fab Four songbook at the Grove in Upland on June 24th. But first, a history lesson about the Grove from one of the owners, Sherry Kinnison. Here's KVCR's Lillian Vasquez with the interview.
Sherry, tell me a little bit about the history of the Grove Theater.
It's a beautiful old movie theater that we purchased 25 years ago, renovated it, and turned it into live entertainment. Usually we do a 5-show season, and then in between our season of shows, we bring in comedians and music artists, and a lot of the tribute bands. People love the tribute bands, especially the Elvis and the Beatles and the Pink Floyds and all of those, so they do really well. We've always tried, you know, supply entertainment, good family entertainment, and we try to do a lot of children's productions, and they're main stage productions, but they target children, like we did Little Mermaid, the first show of the year, and then we followed it up with Annie. So we just try to keep something going.
How big is the theater? What does it hold there?
We seat right at 400.
And you said you purchased it some 25 years ago. Share a little bit about your background and how you got into the entertainment business.
I grew up a preacher's kid and from Illinois, Rockford, Illinois. And when I was a kid, my dad bought an old movie theater and he turned it into a church. And it had a stage probably 3 times the size of mine. It was fabulous. And it had such huge fly space. And so when I was a kid, my dad had these fabulous productions at Easter and at Christmas. And, you know, so I just grew up with that. And we had wonderful choirs and music. And so just, you know, coming out of church, it's just like, you know, I always say having this theater is just like pastoring a church, you know, with all the different actors and different personalities. And so I saw this old theater one day, and we moved to Upland, and Bill was on the road traveling. He managed my late brother-in-law, Sam Kinnison. And
Bill is
so
who?
Bill is my husband. And so anyway, we decided we'd buy it and renovate it, and my brother Ron, who had a degree in theater art, he came out and helped me start the theater and did all the marketing. And he was in the very first play that we did, Barefoot in the Park. And then he got killed 15 years ago now, which, you know, really took a big chunk of the marketing out of it for us. But here we are. We're still going 25 years later, and we've built a great reputation for bringing good entertainment. That's kind of, you know, you grow up in it and you just never get away from it.
I'm talking with Sherry Kinnison, who is the owner slash producer of many of the projects that go on at the Grove Theater in Upland. You mentioned that the Kinnison name, so you are part of the Sam Kinnison family?
Yes, my husband is Sam's brother, and I used to open for Sam a lot. He and I grew up together, and music was our love. Back then, when we were kids, you didn't go to dances and you didn't really go to concerts. Your life was built around church. And so that was our bond. And he played guitar and I would sing. And my brother Ron actually was the piano player. We'd go to church and sing all day, have fun with music. So
you said you used to open for him. So you knew Sam when you were younger?
Uh-huh. From the time we were kids, our parents were best friends.
Oh, I see. So you both kind of... Were you both from the Illinois area and
yes,
singing and performing
from
in the church?
And he was from Peoria.
Wow.
And our mom and dads were good friends. So that's how we grew up together. And it was all, you know, our lives were built around church.
That's very interesting. And so you were a performer, or you did perform, a singer?
Uh-huh.
And tell me a little bit about that. What was your choice in music? Was it gospel?
You know, yes, at home all the time, all my dad would play was Aretha Franklin and Mahalia Jackson. I grew up with that gospel soul, and that was my love and passion. And so even as I got older, you know, Aretha has always been one of my favorites, and Mahalia Jackson, you know, just what a legend. Etta James, I mean, those were all kind of people that were in my hip pocket of love of music.
And so now, what kind of music did you go on to perform? Did it stay in the gospel realm, or did you go on to a genre? Or
mainly soul, gospel, soul, blues, once in a while a little country, but, you know, most of the time, if people didn't see my face, they thought I was a soul sister instead of this little white gal.
White Caucasian gal that you are. And do you ever get on stage anymore, or you do ever perform?
You know, I do still get asked to come and sing at different places. And, you know, I've done a lot of weddings and a lot of funerals, of course. And then I've been singing with this group called the Singing Mamas. They were looking for some older gals, and one of my agent friends said, why don't you go, I'm going to submit you for this. So I went in and sang, and so they asked me to come and sing with them. So we've been doing that, and it's a lot of fun. It's a whole different genre of different kinds of music. So we've been having a lot of fun with that.
With the Singing
Mamas?
And I still
sing in church. Uh-huh, the Singing Mamas.
Let's talk a little bit about the Grove and some of the things you have going on there. Typically, how many shows or performances will you have at the theater? Do you have something going on all year round,
yeah,
or is there a season?
Yeah, we do all year. We do, like I said, 5-show season. And we just finished Annie, and then we're going to have auditions for All Shook Up, which is the next show that we're, you know, our season will be doing. And then this weekend we have Seussical the Musical. Western Christian is a school, and they're about a block and a half from us, and they don't have an auditorium. They use our auditorium for their, you know, their productions, their shows. So they're doing Seussical the Musical, and, you know, great. I mean, she does a great show from their school, so it's fun. And then we have dance studios that come in, perform, and use the theater for that. And like I said, we bring in different music artists, tribute artists.
So it's kind of a community theater as well, serving the community,
yes.
And the community uses the stage.
We've always tried to do that. We've always tried to, you know, be very community active.
I was looking on your website, and I saw that you have a policy of open auditions. What does that mean? Can you share your policy of open auditions?
Yes, we do open auditions for every show, and we try to post what age ranges that, you know, we're looking for. But we love to use our local talent. People come from all over to audition, and especially if it's a show they're interested in, like Annie or Little Mermaid. You know, all ages come because they see themselves wanting this, you know, dream role that they have on their bucket list to check off.
Uh-huh.
And I love the auditioning process because you never know who's coming or who you're going to get, and you get these wonderful surprises of actors that you would have never gotten if you precast the show. And a lot of theaters love to precast because they don't want to mess with auditioning. But, you know, there's always that person you know could do it, but it's so much more fun to audition and get new talent. We really enjoy the new talent in the form of auditioning and coming to the Grove. And a lot of them have never been here to act, so they see that we're auditioning for this, and they go, oh, that's a role that I would love to do. So they come and audition. So we have a lot of fun with it.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Sherry Kinnison, who is the owner slash producer of the Grove Theater in Upland, and we're learning more about the Grove Theater that's been around some 25 years, at least in your hands, and talking about auditions. So there's a difference between, if you're not a theater person, an open audition and a closed audition, and you guys go for the open audition to maybe meet new talent?
Yes, we do. Well, May 20th, we're having open auditions for All Shook Up, which is a musical comedy, and it features Elvis Presley music. And that'll be from 11 a.m. till 4. And Julio Vallejas is directing and choreographing that show. So it'll be fun. And then June 3rd, we have Fred Willard coming with he has a Moho sketch comedy group. He does once a week in Hollywood. He has a group that they perform. And they're coming for one night, June 3rd. And Fred, if you know Fred Willard from Best in Show, and he's on Modern Family, Raymond. Fred has got a history of just fabulous shows and never ceases to amaze me at his comedic talent that he has on stage. He's just fabulous. So it's a chance for people to come out and see these professional actors in their element and get a fun night of laughter and date night.
So,
and the name of their show is Dads, Grads, and Mohos.
Oh, is that what that show? I saw the show on your website. I wondered what that was. Very good.
And then we usually, in January, we'll have a couple bands, and then we open a season in February. So our Christmas show is our last one of the year.
Sherry, thank you so much for spending some time with me and letting us get to know the Grove Theater just a little bit better.
Thank you, and we hope to see all of you here in Upland.
KVCR's Lillian Vasquez with Sherry Kinnison, owner and producer at The Grove in Upland. With the season opener, Seussical, this weekend, The Grove presents Sleeping Beauty on May 27th, Dads, Grads, and Mohos, June 3rd, Elvis, Hollywood to Las Vegas, June 17th, and Abbey Road, A Tribute to the Beatles, on June 24th. That brings us to drummer and Ringo Starr impersonator Axel Clark. He's one-fourth of the very popular Beatles tribute band, Abbey Road. Here again, Lillian Vasquez.
Axel, I understand you're a teacher by day. Is that correct?
Yeah, part-time.
And where do you teach? What do you do? What's your background?
Well, I teach at the Orange County School of the Arts in Santa Ana. It's an arts-based school program. So I teach in the conservatory program, which happens after school from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. And I teach music, percussion, orchestral, and drum set. Teach some music theory as well.
Oh, nice.
Been doing that for about 15 years now.
Wow. Are you a local boy? I saw that you went to school at Cal State Long Beach. Did you grow up in this area?
I grew up in the Orange County area. I was born in Scotland. I immigrated here when I was 4, but I've been in the Southern California area since I was 4 years old.
And when you were a young kid, did you even know who the Beatles were?
Yeah, my dad was a huge Beatles fan. My parents had me when they were young, so they were very much in touch with the music scene at the time. So from an early age, I grew up, you know, the Beatles being constantly played around the house. So I can't remember a time where I wasn't aware of the Beatles and their music.
Well, nice. So did you think you'd be playing Ringo Starr at some point in your career?
No. Yeah, when I started playing drums, you know, in my teenage years, you know, tribute bands weren't a thing yet. So, no, I was not on the career agenda at all. When it came up about 7-8 years ago, the auditions for it, it was really just a matter of, hey, that could be fun. Like so many things, you know, what you just try for a lark winds up turning into a big part of your career for many years now.
So tell me about that audition, mm-hmm. what that was like and what you performed and how that obviously turned out for the better, but tell me that experience.
Well, what the management company basically did is they just called in as many interested Beatle types as they could. That ranged from people who had never done the Beatles to some experienced actual veterans who are already working in the tribute scene. And really, it was just a very large warehouse space with the instruments set up and, you know, like 20 Pauls and 20 Johns, 20 Georges and 20 Ringos. And they just start mixing and matching people and say, okay, Paul 3 with John 7 and Ringo 10. You just go up and play. You'd all agree what song, evil song you're going to play together, and everyone would take a turn doing a vocal to see who was a better singer or not. And from there, they just kind of whittled down to the callbacks on a couple arrangements that they like. And from there, they brought it down to their final four. So it was a unique experience, but it went well. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was nice being able to sit back and watch the other Ringos because, not to be pompous, but I knew I was the best player there. It was just a question of whether I had the look they wanted or not. So, you know, it was actually a lot of being fun experience for me. Some auditions aren't.
I bet. So that's what I was wondering. Did you decide to be Ringo because you played the drums or you had a look like Ringo? It must be the drums, right?
It was the drums. Yeah, yeah. I've been a drum percussionist all my life. So if they're casting for a Beatles musical, I'm not going to go out for Paul. Ringo was pretty much the only choice.
And what was the song you performed?
Vocally?
Yes.
They gave you a choice of a few, and up to that point, I'd only ever sung backing vocals. I'd never sung lead vocals in my life. So I just picked Boys, which is one of his earlier tunes, because it was a straightforward kind of rock song. I thought, okay, I can get away with that. And so I just kind of closed my eyes, literally, and just did it. And when I opened my eyes, everyone was smiling and nodding. I was like, okay, I guess I pulled it off.
Nice, nice. Axel Clark is playing the role of Ringo Starr in a show called Abbey Road, a tribute to the Beatles.
She loves you. She said she loves you, and you know that can't be bad. Yes, she loves you, and you know you should be glad. Ooh. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. And with a love like that, you know you should be glad.
So let's talk about the show. Have you been on tour with this show for quite some time?
Yeah, we've been touring pretty steadily for the last 4 or 5 years now. Not like, you know, every day of the year, but we go out on good 2-3 week runs at least 5-6 times a year now. And then around that, we have other things that we fill in. Sometimes it's weekend jaunts out to casinos and things like that. Just a couple weekends ago, we played a casino in Portland on a Friday and then flew to Dallas to play a wedding on a Saturday. So that kind of thing.
Wow. You'll soon be performing at the Grove Theater in Upland, where the show will be coming to the Inland Empire. Now, which of the eras do you prefer, or does it cover all the eras? It does have the name Abbey Road, but does it cover all the eras?
Yeah, yeah, we go from the early to the late stuff. It covers all the eras, 3 costume changes, you know, everything we can get to.
And what era seems to be the most popular, or does it vary from audience to audience?
It varies from audience to audience. I find that most time depends on the demographic. Older audiences tend to like the earlier stuff a little bit more.
Sure.
Younger audiences like the later stuff a little bit more.
Makes sense.
Which is interesting. Well, I suppose I always find it interesting. I always thought the early stuff was pretty universal, and a younger audience will get into it, but you know they're not like exploding with cheers. But then you play later stuff that's a little more mellower or mid-tempo-y, and they just go absolutely nuts for it. So, you know, you kind of based off the demographic, you just try and give a bit of everything for everyone, you know.
So your audience varies in ages. You can have some up to 82 to 22.
It can, yeah, yeah. Everything from, you know, 4 to 64. That's a terrible joke. I think I said that. Yeah, everything from, you know, very old to the very young. I mean, the universal appeal of the Beatles, you know.
And do you have a favorite part that you enjoy playing? I was asking about the audience and what you think they enjoy, but is there an era that you enjoy?
I enjoy all of them for different reasons. Musically, I like the Sgt. Pepper era because that's when the music was kind of the most complex, and that's a fun challenge to pull those songs off. But I love the bright energy of the early pop stuff. I love the more kind of rough rock and roll element to some of the later stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I like things about every era, really.
Well, thanks. Is there anything particular that you'd like to tell our listeners that if they come to the show, what they can expect?
All the hits you expected, some of the ones you forgot, and just a great time all around. We played the Grove in Upland several times. It's always fun to play there. I'm looking forward to getting back and playing for the people out in Upland.
Axel Clark plays the part of Ringo in Abbey Road, a tribute to the Beatles. It'll be at the Grove Theater on Saturday, June 24th. Axel, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Hey.
Axel Clark is a drummer and Abbey Road's Ringo Starr. More information about this and other performances at the Grove Theater on 9th Street in downtown Upland can be found online at grovetheater.com. Still upcoming, everything you need to know about the Bruin Q in Norco and Pippin the Musical at the Fox in Riverside. I'm Rick Dulock, and this is KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Pippin, the musical, is coming to the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside, June 3rd and 4th. KVCR has tickets. You can reserve your seats online now at kvcrnews.org. Click the Events tab from our homepage and pledge for your tickets today. We'll finish this week's show in conversation with Naish Fox, who plays and sings the lead role in this Broadway hit musical. But first, Lillian Vasquez finds out about a local barbecue cook-off scheduled for the first weekend in June.
My guest is Debbie Yap. Debbie, tell me what the Brew and Q Festival is in Horsetown, and where is Horsetown?
Well, Horsetown, USA is Norco, California, and it's a very unique situation because it's one of the few places in the state of California that actively promotes animals and horses in particular. And this community has no sidewalks. It has horse trails and homes that really, really promote animal keeping and the equine industry. So it's pretty special, pretty unique.
So if people are in Norco, you might see horses walking by?
You will see horses walking by. You will see hitching posts at the grocery store. And at the post office, you will see parking spaces that allow horse trailers to come in.
Wow, so it really is
amazing.
Horsetown.
The architecture is all Western, and it's just a quaint community, and it's a very, very unique situation.
So I guess it might be the perfect place to hold this Horsetown Brew and Q Festival. Tell me what it is and what goes on at this festival.
Well, we're pretty proud of the Horsetown Brew and Q Festival in that it's a barbecue competition, number one, and it's a unique barbecue competition in that we feature some of the top smokers in the country.
Okay.
And it is sanctioned by the Kansas City Barbecue Society, which is the largest organization in the world dedicated to barbecue. So they are the individuals that oversee some of the contests that you see on television. And so many of our contestants are featured on television shows such as Barbecue Pit Masters, Barbecue Wars, The Food Truck, very, very well-known barbecue chefs. So it's pretty special.
So I didn't even know a society like that, the Kansas City Barbecue Society, existed. How did they come about, and how did you come under them?
A few years ago, I attended an event at another contest. And I started asking questions, and, you know, I started meeting some of the individuals that were involved in the contest, and more so some of the individuals who were participating. And I just found them to be quite refreshing. I found it to be a community that was dedicated to charity, a community that was dedicated to pretty much clean living, family values, and getting along. And it just seemed to me that during this time, there was no differences in cultural backgrounds. There were no class differences because everyone's common goal was to cook the best barbecue. And it just was just a wonderful opportunity for people to get to know each other on a different level. And I like that. So I incorporated that into some of the activities that I was participating in, and things just seemed to evolve.
Well, let me ask a little bit about the competition and the judging. I'm assuming that's kind of what this is, although it must be brew, so there must be beer involved, and then barbecuing. So has the competition and the judging happen?
Well, the judging is done by certified barbecue judges, and they are all certified by the Kansas City Barbecue Society.
Wow.
So it is extremely organized, double-blind competition. The entries are submitted. No one knows whose entry is whose, and they are scored on three different categories. They're scored in taste, tenderness, and appearance.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Once they're scored, they add up all the points, and then we award the top dog, and the top dog is called the grand champion, and the person who comes in second is called the reserve champion. You can also win in different categories, and so there are four separate meats that are judged: chicken, ribs, pork, and brisket.
Hmm.
So it's an opportunity for people to really, really stretch their skills. It's a sport, and it's also an art.
So let me just ask you, do they cleanse their palate?
There is a process in which they have crackers, water, you know, they pace themselves. And it's a really, really difficult job that everybody wants to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds kind of tough, but it sounds delicious to be a part of. And then is there a grand, you said there's a grand poobah that wins, and that's, is that what the competition is? And do they get paid, or they just get the glory of being named the grand person?
Well, there are prizes, and our purse is $10,000.
Wow.
But more importantly, bragging rights and points that can lead to going to a national championship. So individuals who win our contest are automatically extended an invitation to the American Royal, which is the granddaddy of them all. And so that's pretty special.
Now, I understand you have an Australian team, a barbecue team, coming all the way from Australia. Tell me about that.
We are thrilled to have the Smoking Jokers come in from Sydney, Australia. You know, these guys are coming to what they consider the best of the best. They selected Norco's event, our Horsetown Brew and Q Festival, to attend and to participate in. And all of this is done at their expense. So we've already named this, you know, we're being invaded by Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we protect our honor here in the States. So it's an opportunity, not just for cooking, but an opportunity to exchange ideas and values and just to get to know each other a little bit better.
I wonder if they'll be cooking with that stuff. What do they eat there it's really tastes nasty? Vegemite? I think it tastes nasty. When I was in Australia, it didn't taste that great to me. But maybe they throw that in their barbecue. It'll be interesting to see why they're the champs, or they have been the champs in other regions, and what they're bringing to America.
It will be very interesting to see how they do that. And it may be interesting for them to see how we cook as well.
Sure.
So, interesting matchup. And in addition to the Australian team coming in, we also have a Texas champion coming in from Midland, Texas, Junior Urias. We're being invaded from all over.
Well, it sounds like good food is coming to the city of Norco. Let's talk a little bit about the brew part. What goes on with the beer part?
Well, people get a chance to sample the best craft beer here in Southern California. So local crafters will come in. People will be able to purchase samples. They will also be able to purchase, you know, regular size beer. And it's just an opportunity for people to really taste the best of the best. We feel that having the beer and the barbecue is just two all-American pastimes joined together, and it just doesn't get any better. But yes, the best in the beer and the best in the barbecue.
I'm speaking with Debbie Yup, who's heavily involved in the Horsetown Brew and Q Festival coming in June. It's actually June 3rd. Now, what else goes on at the festival? Is it a family event? Is it an adult event? What else goes on at the festival?
It is a family event, although more people do come as adults. But we also offer a certified barbecue judging class, which will be held on Sunday, June 4th, and we do have some limited seats available. And that's where you can learn how to become a certified judge. Not just learn how to become a certified judge, you can become a certified judge, and then you can go and participate in other types of events and be part of that excellent, excellent job where you have to force someone to taste the food. It's just really rough work. But that's an opportunity on Sunday. And then we offer a Kids Q, which is a miniature version of our adult competition for students that are between the ages of 6 and 15. We have two categories, 6 to 10, and then from 11 to 15. And the students will not only be able to compete in barbecue, but after the event is over, we allow the kids to take the barbecue grills that we supply. They get to take them home.
Oh, that's nice. And so does that take place on the Saturday or on the Sunday?
That takes place on Saturday, right after the adults compete and our youth compete.
And is there music going on? Is there background music, or is the whole focus?
Oh my goodness.
I take that that's a yes.
You can't have barbecue and beer without great music. And yes, we have the Blue Henrys are back. We have Big Papa and the TCB, South of Santa Fe. So it's a nice mix of a little blues, a little country, and a little pop, a little rock and roll. So something for everyone.
Now, Debbie, in your title, after your name, it's Service Through Action. What is Service Through Action?
Service Through Action is a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to developing leadership in youth and also assisting organizations with their nonprofit organizations, with their nonprofit administration, nonprofit fundraising. So we're kind of like a consultant for other nonprofits.
I see.
But we also host a program once a year called Queuing for the Cause. And we select a different organization or youth group where we support them, and we offer scholarships. In fact, we offered a scholarship last year to football teams at Norco High School. We do a little bit of everything, but it's primarily for leadership development and to develop healthy communities.
Nice. So is the Brew and Q Festival, is it a fundraiser for someone, or is it just go back in for next year's event?
We do offer scholarships, and we're working with Gridiron this year and also the FFA. So, yes, there will be monies going back. It is a fundraiser, and we do support our youth in the community.
So when you say the community, is that just Norco, or does that expand to a little bit beyond the Inland Empire, or where does that go?
We begin in Norco at the Brew and Q, but we do expand. We have provided programs in other areas in Riverside. We've provided programs actually up north in Northern California, arts programs.
Nice.
So it does expand, absolutely.
Well, if you're looking for some good food, good brew, and good cue, then the place to hang out might be in Horsetown. Thanks very much, Debbie.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
That was Debbie Yop speaking with our own Lillian Vasquez about the 2017 Bruin Q, which happens June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Norco, a.k.a. Horsetown, USA. Find out more about the festival online at brewandqfestival.com. That's brew, the letter N, Q, that's Q-U-E, festival.com. Brewandqfestival.com. Hey, it's KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock. The Broadway musical Pippin will visit the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside on June 3rd and 4th. KVCR has a limited number of tickets to both performances, but they're going fast. You can reserve yours with a pledge of support right now when you visit our website at kvcrnews.org. Click the events tab from our homepage to claim your tickets. We reached out to our friends at the Fox and had the opportunity to interview Naish Fox, who's playing the lead role of Pippin in the musical. Lillian Vasquez has it.
Hello, Naish.
Hello.
So I'm not real familiar with the show. I know it's been around for about 40 years, so I've heard of it. I know maybe one song from it, and I want to learn more about Pippin. But first, I want to learn more about you. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the smallest state, Rhode Island.
Okay.
Loved it. Loved every minute of it. It was nice because it was only an hour away from Boston and only 2.5 hours away from New York, so I got to be in the city a lot.
And were you a kid that loved performing at a very early age, or did you fall into it in high school? Tell me about your road to Pippin.
When I was 12 years old, I played the role of Gavroche in a production of Les Mis.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of got the bug a little early on, and then I stopped for a while. And then in high school, in my senior year, I kind of dove back into it, and I did a production of Into the Woods, and I knew that that was kind of what I wanted to do because I liked it a little bit more than just a hobby. And then I started again in college, and it's been great ever since.
So where'd you go to school, and what did you study in college? Did you do performances while you were in college?
I did. I studied at the Brown University and through the Trinity Conservatory, which is our local professional theater. So they partnered with them. And then afterwards, I studied at the Atlantic through NYU, which is also a conservatory.
And what were some of the shows that you were involved in?
I did The Drowsy Chaperone. I did a production of Hair. I actually did Pippin in college.
Oh.
Another production of Into the Woods and The Producers.
And did you have favorites, and what were some of your roles in some of the other shows that you performed in?
In The Drowsy Chaperone, I played Robert, which was so much fun. He's just this tap dancing guy who's not so bright, but so in love with this girl, Janet, so that was fun. And then in The Producers, I got to play, he was also another tap dancer who sings Springtime for Hitler, which was
right.
Fun and funny. And then in Pippin, in college, I played Pippin. But it was the old version. So it was the 1972 production. So it had the old script. So our production now is completely different.
So then let's talk about that. I knew the Pippin, and I didn't know it very well. I only knew of the name some 40 years ago, which just aged myself. But what is the new Pippin? What's new about it? Share a little bit about the whole show.
So Pippin it's the story of King Charlemagne's son, who's it's really just an everyman's journey of trying to find fulfillment in life and what he's meant to do. And so through this story, he tries a series of different journeys, I guess.
Okay.
He tries different things, like he tries politics and he tries war and he tries being at home. And it's just this journey of trying to find out like what he's meant to do with his life and where he fits in.
Which is something that many of us can relate to, trying to figure out where we fit in. And so where does he go on his journey?
So it's not really like set in like a specific time. It's just like these like little vignettes of like things that he tries. And the leading player, which is played by her name is Huso Simone, who is absolutely fabulous. She guides him through these journeys. So there's this troupe of, in our production, it's based in a circus. So he's in this circus setting in the tent, and she creates all of these different little worlds for him to try. So we also in our new production, there's it's all done with like acrobatics, and it's set in the circus tent. And so there's flying, and there's like a trapeze and a cirque, and our acrobats are just amazing. I mean, they're flying literally across the stage.
So that must be pretty interesting, just the whole, and let's talk about that. There seemed to be, I looked a little bit online, and the choreography looks fabulous, along with the acrobats. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how humbling it is to work with them. The very first day of rehearsal, we all like went in and we did a reading of the script. And then we had a couple different studios to work in, and they were warming up, and they had people standing on their head, and they were just like lifting them up in the air with like one arm.
Mm.
And what was so humbling to work with the acrobats is that they trust each other 100%, because it's not like if you're tired one day, you're like, oh, I'm only going to give 80%. If they give 80%, there's a good chance that one of them is going to get hurt. So they jump into every adventure or every trick, like full force and full out with feeling. And that was kind of the way that they attacked this script too, because they didn't know any other way. So they just jumped into a character, or they just jumped in and tried something. And it was just so amazing to watch. And really, I learned a lot from them of just completely committing to something. And I got to do some of the acrobatic tricks as well, so that was kind of fun.
And how was that for you? Did you have an acrobat background, or did you just kind of catch on and follow along with him?
No, I had no acrobatic background. At the audition, at the final audition, the choreographer, Chet Walker, asked me, he goes, are you afraid of heights? And I said, no, not really. and I had no idea what I was getting into. there's a thing where I go up on the trapeze in the finale. I do a backflip over a guy.
Wow.
I balance on someone's shoulders for a while. And what we did was, we just, like anything else, we just trained it. And we had a little bit over a month to train all of the tricks. And every day we did circuit training. And then afterwards, after like our day of rehearsal, I would go and I would train with the acrobats in the evening.
Now, I understand this is your, you're making your Broadway National tour debut with this show, right?
Correct.
So that's got to be exciting, and I imagine you'll be playing several cities throughout the U.S.?
Yeah, we started in January. We started in Washington State, and it's been such a dream. And this has been a role that I've wanted to play since I saw Pippin at a local, like, I think it was community theater, and I fell in love with the music. And I was like, I want to do that one day. I'm like, I want to play that role.
And the music is by?
Stephen Schwartz, the composer of Wicked and Godspell and The Prince of Egypt and Pocahontas. He's so wonderful.
And so is the music any different from in the newer version? It kind of sounds like maybe the words are a little different because it's more contemporary. But is the music the same as we would have heard some 40 years ago?
It's definitely the same melodies and the same songs. However, it has definitely been modernized.
I see.
There's different instruments that Stephen has incorporated, like the guitar is a little bit more prominent, and those songs have been like modulated, so like they're a little bit higher and a little bit more thrilling to listen to. And in the original, Ben Vereen played the leading player, so it was a man, and in our production it's a woman, so her songs had to be changed a little bit.
Right, that's right, he did play that. I do remember that now. Tell me about the audition experience when you decided, I'm going to go for this. Did you see it coming? Did you hear about it at the last minute? And what was your song and what did you prepare for?
So I got the call to come in for the audition, and they sent me over a packet. So I prepared from the show, and that was about a year ago. It was in March I went in for my initial audition. Then we did a week of callbacks and like dancing. And then I met with part of the creative team. And then I went back again in April and didn't hear anything for a little while. And then got called back in the last weekend in June to go in front of casting and the creative team. And then in July, I had my final callback.
Wow.
With the producers and the full creative team. And I was there for about 5.5 hours. And we basically did Pippin in a studio.
Nice. And they told you that day, we're going with you?
I didn't know that day. I got an email the following Monday.
Email?
Yeah, I know.
Not even a phone call. Well, it's probably quite exciting for you. And will you be playing in your hometown, or where will some of your stops be?
Where have we stopped? We played close to my hometown.
And so will family be able
to
see you perform?
Yes, they've made the trip. They got to come see it.
Are the results in of what your family thought of your performance?
I mean, they're family. They're biased, so they obviously love it.
And tell me about the role. You were saying that the role that Ben Vereen once played, it's a female that plays this role. And is she kind of the
Correct.
Narrator that tells the story?
She is. She's definitely, she would be, I would say, more of like a ringleader.
Okay.
So she informs like the audience of what's happening, but she also is in control of like the circus troupe. So she tells them like where to go and like what to do and how to guide Pippin along this journey.
And then since this is a traveling, I'm guessing because there is acrobats that you have to have gears and harness and stuff set up. Or so each location, how's the setup go?
We have a truss which gets like flown up, and then there's 3 flying points, and then there's 1 stage left, center, and stage right. And then there's they have the harness, and they have a cirso, which is like a big hula hoop, but it's made out of metal that you fly in. And then she does some splits and some tricks on that. And then there's a rope that's hanging where in one of our scenes, like someone's supposed to get hung, so she gets flown up. I think that's all of it.
And would you say the show is for adults? Who's your audience here?
I would say it's like 12 and up.
Because of the subject matter, or because of what they're discussing or talking about, or?
I'd say some partly that, and then also just to be enjoyed. I mean, I think that a kid could come and enjoy it because it's very colorful and a lot's going on, but I don't know if they would really understand it, because it's one of those pieces that you have to focus, because it's very quick, and if you miss one of the lines, you kind of get a little confused. The reviews have been great, and we've been fortunate enough to, I think, capture the meaning of the story, and it's been translating well.
So you mentioned earlier in our conversation that you had always wanted to play this role professionally. What other roles are out there that you're looking to do, or where do you go from here?
Oh God, there's so many that I would love to play.
For instance,
I would love to be Fiero in Wicked, which would just be amazing, or Raoul in Phantom of the Opera. But I'm also really interested in new work and creating something from scratch, telling a story that hasn't been told yet. So that's hopefully where my journey will lead me.
Well, in the meantime, we know you'll be playing the role of Pippin when you come to Riverside at the Fox Performing Arts Center on June 3rd. Is the song, it's got magic, is it still in the show?
Oh, magic to do.
Magic to do, all
oh,
right.
Yes, there's plenty of magic in the show.
And is that one of the favorite songs that the audience gets behind, or do the audience love all, or is there a favorite song in the show?
I think that it changes for everyone. I mean, to be honest, Magic to Do is my personal favorite because it's so thrilling and it's so catchy and everything is happening. But also the song Morning Glow is quite popular.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And do you have a performance tonight?
No performance tonight. Tomorrow we pick it up again.
All right. Well, very good. Break a leg.
Thank you so much.
Naish Fox will perform the part of Pippin in the Broadway musical of the same name at the Fox Performing Arts Center June 3rd and 4th. Tickets from KVCR are online at kvcrnews.org. Click the Events tab at the top of our homepage to reserve yours. Well, that wraps up this week's episode of KVC Arts. Thanks to Naish Fox and the Fox Performing Arts Center for that interview. Also, Debbie Yop with Norco's Brewin' Q, a 3-day festival starting Friday, June 2nd. More online at brewnqfestival.com. Also, Sherry Kinnison from The Grove in Upland and Axel Clark with Abbey Road, a tribute to the Beatles. He'll perform as Ringo with his bandmates on June 24th. Information on that show and everything happening at The Grove is online at grovetheater.com. A big thank you again this week to Lillian Vasquez for this week's interviews, and thanks to Sean Longstreet for our theme music. Our regular producer and host of KVC Arts, David Fleming, is building up his strength following an illness. Please keep David in your thoughts. We look forward to his recovery and return to KVC Arts very soon. And finally, thanks to you for listening. I'm Rick Dulock. Have a great night.